The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We welcome those who are visiting with us, some nearer, some farther away, but we welcome you in the name of the Lord. Today, of course, we're moving into this time of preparation through the in preparation of the Great Fast, and we hear the story of the prodigal son, and many of us hear this story, and it's one that we've probably known since childhood. It's a favorite one of the Bible schools and the church schools and the different, because it's so poignant and it's so beautiful in the story of the son coming back to his senses and coming back to his father, and a reunion. And, you know, the fact is that this idea of a reunion, it touches our hearts. I mean, how many movies have been made, you know, about reunions when people come back? And even like when the dog comes back, you know, that's been lost. I mean, we like reunions, you know. But I find it helpful sometimes in the stories of the Gospels. Sometimes you dive into the center of the story, and then sometimes you sort of nibble around the edges. And today I'm going to nibble around the edges a little bit of the story. And unfortunately, the gruel may be a little thin this morning, but I hope that it's there's something meaty in it, something that is of some value. The thought that occurred to me that I thought I would talk a little bit about today is the notion of the inheritance. Because really the story revolves around the inheritance. And the son at the beginning of the story says, I want my inheritance ahead of time. And then at the end of the story, it also, the older son, that's what he talks about, his inheritance, and that's what the father reminds him of, his inheritance. So what is this inheritance? Well, first of all, an inheritance is something that really is given to us. It's something that we receive and we have really no right to. It's a birthright. You know, my inheritance is just simply what I received from my birth, and I did nothing to deserve it. And so, if you think about this, though, and it's important, by the way, for us to receive our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance. But there's something else going on here, and that is that the inheritance is something that not only is received, but it's something to be worked for. In other words, when a son is born into a family, receiving the father's inheritance, especially that first son, there is a sense that that first son would follow in the shoes of the father. It's not that he would just get something because he was the firstborn, but rather he would be the one who would be trained to take over, as it were, the father's business. You know, the father's livelihood, the father's land, the father's operations. He would be the one that would truly inherit it and pass it on. And so this was a very important idea. So in order to do that and to do it well, you don't just receive it, but you got to work at it. And so this is how the sort of apprenticeship works. And I kind of laugh when I watch some of the children of our parish. They're becoming apprentices of their fathers. And they're learning to do what their fathers do. Now, for those of you who are fathers, listen closely. That's scary. Because they're learning to do what you do. And so, is what you're doing and what you're going to pass on to them, that inheritance, is that a good thing that they're going to inherit from you or not? What is it that you're training them to do day by day so that they will receive it in the end, ultimately, from you? Actually, they're receiving their inheritance now. But you see, it's a proverbial thing that we learn. You know, sons learn from their fathers. And so my dad taught me how to fix a car, at least as much as he knew. And he taught me how to cut the grass. And he taught me the management of the household, which we would call stewardship, the care of that which is entrusted and going to be entrusted in life. Now, so you see, the son has to learn how to work with his father for the inheritance. That's part of the bargain. So maybe part of the problem of the prodigal son is not just that he wants all the stuff, but that he's afraid to work for it. So this, the fathers would identify as being the sin of sloth. And let's face it, I mean, those of us, any of us who's young, has gone through youth, we can look back and say, you know, those younger years, I really wasted so much time, so much opportunity, so much I could have learned. I think of that about my seminary training. You know, there was a wealth of knowledge I could have learned if I would have just applied myself just a little bit harder. And I had fathers who would teach me. But in my reluctance, laziness, or whatever, I wouldn't do it. Now, here's one of the things that happens with the younger sons sometimes, is that not only do they not want to work for it, but they run away from the work. To run away from the work, I think now this is a real problem in our society, especially for young men. They don't want to inherit that workload, which goes along with the inheritance, but they want to run away. And they want to hold themselves up and, you know, indulge themselves in whatever the thing is that is going to bring them pleasure. And some run away physically, but some run away like into the basement of the house and go play video games or look at pornography on the internet. But it's the same thing. It's the unwillingness. You see, the work is actually kind of the springboard to get us out of that. To get us out of that mindset, or it can be. And that's what gets us to the end of the story, on the outer, the other periphery of the story. And that's the other son who hangs around and he does the work. Okay, so he's the faithful son, he's the elder son, and he slogs along and he does the work and he's working in his father's house and he's seemingly getting no reward, not even, you know, a kid goat that he could share with his friends. And he's laboring and he's he knows how it is to work. Oftentimes the elder son or daughter is the one who really is the worker bee. They've picked up on this inheritance thing, but it gets dumped on them. And guess what? They begin to resent it. Now every one of us who's ever resented anything, now let me just draw a line here and say that I'm not talking just about your personal life, your family life, your home life, you know, if you're a mother at home and the kids are screaming and pulling you in every direction and how you feel the resentment, or if you're working in the office and, you know, things are getting dumped on you and you're not getting any thanks and you're just getting more work. I'm not talking just about that. But what about the church? You see, there are workers here, there are worker bees here in the church. There are those of you who really know that part of your inheritance is something that you work for. And so where do you work for your spiritual inheritance? You work for it in the church. And, by the way, there will be those who run away from it. They want to get the goodies of the church. But they don't want to hang around and do the work, which is part of that inheritance. But then on the other side are those of us who feel like we've been slogging and working, sometimes without any thanks, and the burden is heavy and nobody is helping and all of those kinds of things. Have you ever felt that? Well, maybe you can identify with the elder son then. That this is part of our experience. So how do we get out of this trap? Well, obviously, there are two solutions, and for each, there's a different solution. By the way, the prodigal son, and this is the thing that usually you don't figure out in the story. He comes back, and he receives the embrace of the father, and they love each other and hug and kiss and celebrate and all that stuff. And guess what? After the party, son, go clean up. Okay? He has to come back and learn how to work so that he can rightly inherit what it is. And that right inheritance is actually pointed out by who? It's by the older son, because he doesn't get it either. He's working, but he still doesn't know how to really receive the inheritance. And what is the inheritance? What is the punchline of the story? The father says, "All that I have is yours." And what he's really saying is, "I am yours." This is the inheritance. It's the inheritance of love. And so, you see, the thing is, and this is actually where it's different between the church and your office, is that here in the church, whenever we work, we should recognize that we're working for the inheritance. And the inheritance is the relationship with the Father. That's what we really inherit. That's what grows stronger. You know, you can't, the prodigal son could not cultivate his relationship with his father 100 miles away. But if we're in the household, and if we work with the grace of our Father, we come to know him. We come to know what he's about. We come to know his mindset. We come to know an intimacy in our lives. And yes, the work is hard, and sometimes it's a slog. And sometimes, seemingly, we don't get a whole lot in this life that sounds or feels like gratitude. But nevertheless, what we have to do is go past that and see the real source of the inheritance. We have to see that the inheritance, as the Father says, those of you who are working your behinds off, all is yours. I have come that you may receive life and have it abundantly. This is for you. Just hang in there. And accept and receive. Open your eyes to receive your brother who has run away. And don't let the resentment in your heart keep you from experiencing what the inheritance really is about, which is love. My love for you as my son. And that love of our household, the household of the church, the oikos of the church, which is filled with grace, ultimately. The tendency sometimes that we have is that we focus so much on what we are doing and then on what other people aren't doing that we fail to see the real inner spiritual purposes. And I can tell you that as one who works in the church in a couple of different capacities, it is such an easy trap to fall into. And yet, I've also seen and realized that these encounters of the spiritual work of the church, and I'm talking about not just asceticism, not just the prayer, not just the liturgy, not just the sacraments, but the spiritual work of the church, which takes place when we come together and meet, when we clean up the hall after the event, when somebody's working here on their own and cleaning the church, when you're calling people up trying to set up a meeting or receive discouraging news because something isn't happening or it's not coming together, in those moments, we have to realize that the Lord is with us. And these become a challenge for us to see past it, to see just past the limitations of this, and to see that maybe God is in our household. And maybe we're losing sight of him. And maybe that's even more important, because at least the prodigal son, he went away and he was able to see, I've lost my relationship with my father. I need to go back. The problem with the guy in the household who stayed and worked was he was losing his relationship with the father as well. It was not clear to him what his father's relationship with his father was. He was losing it. He didn't even realize what he was losing. And you know, I dare say that's what happens in the church. It's what happens to clergy. It's what happens to good people in the church, dedicated people. So we have to get past that. And we have to look for the Lord's love. So, for you, ask yourself, are you all in? Are you staying in the household? Are you going to do your part? Are you going to carry out the Lord's work? And through that, come to know him and relate to him as your God and Father. Or are you going to run away and hide and not do the Lord's work? And even when you go elsewhere, not even consider that you who you are and what your dignity is as a son of your father and what your true inheritance is, which is that relationship. And then can we overcome whatever our tendencies are? The sins, the things that keep us ultimately, that kept both the prodigal son and the older brother from what was really important, which was the embrace of the Father. That's what it really is about. It's that communion of love. That's what this church is about. The day that this we lose sight of that in some way, shape, or form, we've lost it. We lost it all. We have lost our inheritance, you see. And that's why people leave. Do you see how tragic it is when people leave the church? Because they have lost their inheritance. They have lost their relationship with their Father. Well, the Father hasn't stopped loving them. But they've lost the connection. They've lost the way to see that this house of God is theirs. And sometimes, you know, the one who runs away is not the one who is young and you know, prone to certain, you know, desires for pleasures or things. Sometimes the person who leaves is a person who's been working day in and day out and finally gets tired and just drifts away. And if that's you, then turn your heart and your mind and your eyes again to your Father. And realize what you're really doing. And realize, you know, that all I have, he says, is yours. And you are mine. And I love you. And receive that embrace again. Receive that strength to carry out whatever work it is that he gives us. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, as Christ says. And so let's carry forth this work in the Father's house. Through this period of the forthcoming Great Lent, but also in for each of us all the days of our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.